We are, this is Prophecy Sunday, and we are going to do something a little different this week. We're going to look at an Old Testament verse from Leviticus, and we're going to talk about the mystery of the trees. Amen? So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for your many blessings. We just ask that you bless this time and your word together. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. It stopped. Okay. All right. The mystery of the trees. The text that we're going to be looking at is from Leviticus 19, verse 23. When you shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then you shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall be, it shall not be eaten of. But in the 4th year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord withal. And in the 5th year shall ye eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God. And so this was an Old Testament prophecy to the Jews that when they came into the land and they planted all manner of trees, they were not to eat any of the fruit for 3 years. In the 4th year, they could eat it. In the 5th year, it would be a tremendous blessing to them. All right, so the law of the trees. 3 years forbidden. 4th year, it's holy. 5th year, the yield, the increase is yield. So the 4th, of course, was the first fruit that they would partake of before the fruit was not mature. And in this we find the secret to the beginning and the end of the age. Can I get an amen? All right, so you ready for this? Now the word El in Hebrew is actually represented as God, but it's also can be translated a tree. And we see that a big tree, you think of a big tree as strength, you know, that they're deep roots. And, of course, we know that the Messiah in the Old Testament was called the branch in Old Testament prophets. He was referred to prophetically as the branch. The branch will come. Jesus, of course, called himself the vine. And so we see this imagery of God and Jesus, the tree, the branch. And we saw that Jesus ministered for, what, 3 years? And then he offered himself in the 4th year of his ministry. He actually ministered about 3.5 years. So it was in the 4th year that Jesus offered himself on the cross, and on the resurrection day was actually the Jewish feast day of first fruits. That was the day Jesus rose from the dead after Passover was the first fruits. And so Jesus became the first fruit. Paul referred to that. And then when we look at Jesus' life, we see that he had his youth, age 1 to 10, his teen years up to 20, and the third decade, 21 to 30. And then he ministered in his 4th decade. He began his ministry at about age 33. So in his 4th decade was when, again, his life began to bear fruit. And so we see this pattern repeated all through scriptures. Adam, of course, was his name means man. And, of course, even when you look at genealogy today, they use what? A tree, don't they? And so when we look at the tree of man or the tree of Adam, we see from Adam to Noah, it was approximately 1,000 years. From Noah to Abraham, approximately 1,000 years. From Abraham to David, approximately 1,000 years. And from David to Messiah, and then again, the fruit came, amen, in the 4th year. When we look at man's fall, the fall of man when Adam sinned, he was told, you know, Adam and Eve were told there would be a tree in the midst of the garden, a tree of knowledge of good and evil. They were not to eat, not even to touch it, and the day they did, they'd die. And, of course, we know that they did. And then 4,000 years later was the cross. Now, also, of course, the tree that Jesus died on, referred to a tree, was also a tree of good and evil, wasn't it? Because Christ, who was sinless, the spotless Lamb of God, was on the tree, but so was the sins of all humanity. So this tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was in the garden was the first tree, and then on the 4,000 years later, the day of first fruits, right, then we see the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the cross. The only difference is the living tree brought death and the dead tree brought life. Can I get an amen? All right. So then let's look at the first 3 years. Forbidden was called uncircumcised, right? From Leviticus. Did you see that? He called that fruit for the first 3 years uncircumcised. That represents Gentiles, doesn't it? And then on the fourth year, after 4,000 years, Jesus came, and guess what? The door was open to all the Gentiles, the uncircumcised. And so in the fourth year, when the fruit came, the uncircumcised fruit now was acceptable unto God. Amen? And aren't you glad? If not, we would be hopelessly lost. Amen? Now, on the day of Pentecost, what happened? All the nations of the world were there. Remember, it said that they were all thought they were hearing them in their own tongue because people from all over the known world would come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. It was one of those feasts that they were required to come there. And so when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues, that they all heard them in their own language. You know, no, they're speaking Russian. No, they're speaking Swahili, you know, or whatever, right? Because the whole known world was there. And so what happened is on the fourth day, on the 4,000 years, on the day of first fruit, on the mystery of the tree, then we see all the fruit is now acceptable to eat. Amen? All right, so now let's look at the nation Israel. Israel began with Abraham, a covenant with God. And that was about 2,000 years after Adam, or about 2,000 years B.C., because there was 4,000 years between Adam and the cross, right? So from Abraham to the cross was 2,000 years, and then from the cross to now is another 2,000 years. And so that's why we see Israel becoming a nation in 1948, taking Jerusalem in 1967, because it is time for the nation Israel's fruit to become fully matured and ready to be a blessing to the world. Amen? To the praises of God, everyone shall partake of the fruit. Now, you know what? Everything we have because of the nation Israel. You know, we have a Messiah who is a Jewish Messiah. We have a Bible that was written by nothing but Jews. There is not one book that was written by someone who was not a Jew. You understand this, right? And for 2,000 years, the devil has sought to bring anti-Semitism in the church, thinking that would stop God's plan. But now it's different. Now we see an attitude toward Israel that's different. The churches have finally woken up. The churches like John Hagee, A Night to Honor Israel, and all these things are not just coincidence. It is the time the fruit is maturing and God is getting ready to do something. Can I get an amen? And then, of course, the fifth year, the year after the fourth year, then from Abraham becomes the millennial reign where all the fruit is yielding itself and the whole world is going to be worshiping Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God. The mystery of the trees. Now, Paul, talking about trees, talked about an olive tree in Romans 11. And I've got some verses we're going to read here, Romans 11, verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from death? In other words, right at about the same time that Israel wakes up and accepts Christ is right about the same time the church is going to come alive, the dead is going to rise, and we're going to go up. And so we see that these two events are going to be very closely connected. For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the roots be holy, the branches are holy. He's talking about Jews and Gentiles. He's talking about the Jewish nation and the Gentile church coming together as a unity, as one, right? Verse 17 through 20, and if some of the branches be broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if you boast, you boast not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, but you stand by faith, so be not high-minded, but fear. And what Paul is saying here is, you know, don't think yourself so spiritual because you're saved and the Jews aren't. You were grafted in because they rejected Christ, but if he cut them off, how much easier could he cut off you if you're boasting in who you are? But other words, just have a healthy fear of God. You're there by grace. You're not some super spiritual giant like you think you are. Oil comes from the olive tree. So we're going to look at olive trees. Olive, of course, oil represents the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the Hebrew year Passover begins in the spring. That's when Jesus was crucified on Passover. And then, of course, on the third day was first fruits, and he was risen from the dead. It is then the summer harvest comes, right? It's the spring, and then the summer harvest comes. So what we see then from the Passover and the first fruits when Jesus rose, that the 2,000 years that we've seen since then represents the summer harvest, right? And so the preaching of the gospel has went around the world. It had its heyday for about 1,000 years in Europe, and then another 1,000 years it had its heyday in the United States. And now, of course, you know, the United States doesn't even resemble a Christian nation. But that's okay. Don't get weirded out, because we're about to see this thing finish up, right? I mean, that was God's plan, these 2,000 years. It's the summer harvest. And then comes autumn. And autumn, of course, is the Feast of Trumpets. And then the second coming of the Messiah. The olive tree puts a flower on itself in May, which is the blooming, which is about the time of the Feast of Pentecost. That's when the church bloomed. The church really wasn't born until the day of Pentecost. I'm not saying people weren't saved, but, you know, you can be saved and still not really be bloomed, can you? You know, you can be saved, you know, the Bible even talks of as by fire, as by the skin of your teeth, you're saved. But then you reach full blooming when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you. Jesus said, then you'll be a witness unto me, to Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so in the month of May, along the same time as the Feast of Pentecost, is when the olive tree puts on its flower. And it represents the mystery of the church, the blooming after the cross. So we've had these 2,000 years of evangelism, and then comes the September-October fall feast, Tishri, and the fullness of the church at the end of the age. The church is not complete without Israel. Look at your neighbor and say, the church is not complete without Israel. Yeah, that's right. Come on, Roger. I'm your neighbor. Talk to me, brother. Okay. All right. We're Rogers. We got to stick together, right? The church is not complete without Israel. The church began grafted into the tree, and it will end grafted into the tree. You hear what I'm saying? Think about it. In the book of Acts, during the book of Acts, it was Jews and Gentiles born again bringing the gospel to the known world. Amen? And God's going to wrap this thing up the same way. Spiritual Israel. Abraham is the roots of spiritual Israel. And so we have that same root, don't we? Because, see, we have this verse here, the just live by faith, but you know, that has its roots in spiritual Israel, which is Abraham, right? We are spiritual Israel because of Abraham, right? Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Now, you and I come to church and we read our Bibles, not because we are in a cult and someone told us we have to, but we are fully persuaded that what he's promised, he's able to perform. Amen? And just as Abraham believed God, he was going to give him a son in his old age, we believe that Jesus is coming back again to take us home. Amen? So we live by faith, just like Abraham. All right. Now let's look at the fig tree. When does the fig tree bloom? Well, spring is the first coming. It's first fruits, but the fig tree has two blooms during its life. And they were there for a time, and they were large figs, but few in number. The first blooming I'm talking about. The first bloom of the fig tree brings really big figs, but they're few in number, right? And then what happens is during the summer, they disappear. They just start falling off, and it's kind of a mystery. And so they're just there for, they're big figs, but they're just there for a little while. See, what we saw then in the blooming of the fig tree was the first century church. I mean, they were big. They were doing exploits. Peter's shadows healing people, you know. Paul's neckerchief is healing people, and the Holy Ghost is scaring people, you know. Ananias and Sapphira, yeah, we sold the land. Why are you lying to the Holy Ghost? The people at the door are going to bury you like they did your husband. Bam, and the great fear fell on the church because the figs were big. But they just lasted a little while, and then they were gone, right? It's the spring blooming of the fig tree. And then you got the summer, and they drop off during the summer. And I'm not saying that We haven't been preaching Jesus. I'm not saying the church hadn't done its job. But, you know, people are saying, well, I want a move of the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, I want a move of the Holy Ghost too, but I'm not going to stand up here and fabricate the thing. The move of the Holy Ghost comes from the Holy Ghost. I don't have any control over that. I can fast, I can pray, I can believe God, but God's going to move when God wants to move, and God has a pattern, amen? And God's going to do it His way. And His way was, there's a blooming at the beginning, and there's a blooming in the fall of the time. Glory to God, and I got a feeling we're getting ready to see the blooming. You hear what I'm saying? So the fig trees came big, and they came up few, but then they fell off, and then they were gone all summer. They disappeared during the summer. They fell off quickly. They died. For 2,000 years, the church did exactly what Paul said not to do. They boasted. They were anti-Semitism. They didn't like the Jews. They hated the Jews. No wonder we aren't as effective as we ought to be. Amen? But aren't you seeing God begin to change some things? Like I said, John Hagee, the night to honor Israel, this anti-Semitism that had been so prominent even in the church for 2,000 years, God is changing some things. We see the fingerprint of God happening in our last days, and we know something's about to change. You know, sometimes people post all these negative things on Facebook, and I'm not saying they shouldn't, about, you know, all of the bad things that are happening in the United States and how America is falling away from God and all the sin and everything. But you know what? I like to boast on what God is doing, too. I see God bringing the church back to a maturity. I see God bringing His people back to maturity to love and honor Israel. I see the body of Christ coming together, Jews and Gentiles, to take the gospel one last time and see the greatest revival this world has ever seen. So the land of Israel was barren for 2,000 years. The nation of Israel was barren. As the land is, so is in the spiritual realm. Israel was blind. Blindness happened to Israel in part until the fullness of Gentiles come in. But all of Israel one day will be saved. And so for 2,000 years, Israel didn't understand what was going on. And just as their land was barren, so they were spiritually barren. But as I said earlier, the fig tree blooms twice. Look at your neighbor and say, the fig tree blooms twice. Fig tree blooms twice. Aren't you glad there's coming a blooming again? I said, aren't you glad there's coming another blooming? Aren't you glad there's going to be a second book of Acts, Acts 2, and you and I are going to be in it? Can I hear you? The fig tree is blooming twice. It looks dead, but it's not dead. See, people look at the churches, oh, the church is dead. No, we're not dead. We're just getting ready to bloom. That's why the enemy hates Israel. He knows that we don't. He knows what we don't. Israel is tied to the last great revival. And when they come in, he's going out. I said when they come in, he knows he's going out. Praise God. So the people are barren. The land is barren, cursed. Matthew 21:19. Most of us remember this story. Jesus saw a fig tree in the way, and he came to it, and he found nothing on it but leaves on it. And he said to it, let no fruit grow on you, and henceforth forever and presently the fig tree withered away. Now this was prophetic. We're doing Prophecy Sunday. This was prophetic. He knew that the Jews would not accept him. They would reject him. And for 2,000 years they would be barren. And so when he cursed this fig tree, it was a type of God's curse upon the nation Israel. Yes, God's people were cursed. You know what? Anytime you reject light, judgment always follows. Anytime you reject light, judgment always follows. Be careful. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you through someone, that you are very careful about how you receive that. Because when you reject light, judgment always follows. Amen? And so this was a type of what God was going to do to Israel, the cursing of the fig tree for 2,000 years. I want to read a little bit that Mark Twain wrote in 1867 as he was touring the Middle East. In Israel, we traverse some miles of desolate country whose soil is rich enough but is given wholly to weeds. A silent, mournful expanse. A desolation is here that not even imagination can grace with the pomp of life and action. We reach Tabor safely. We never saw a human being on the whole route. We pressed on toward the goal of our crusades, renowned Jerusalem. The further we went, the hotter the sun got and the more rocky and bare. repulsive and dreary the landscape became. There was hardly a tree or a shrub anywhere. Even the olive and the cactus, those fast friends of a worthless soil, had almost deserted the country. No landscape exists that is more tiresome to the eye than that which bounds the approach to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is mournful, dreary, and lifeless. I would not desire to live here. It is a hopeless, dreary, heartbroken land. Palestine sits in sackcloth and ashes. And one last quote from his visit there, he said, Palestine is desolate and unlovely, and why should it be otherwise? Can the curse of the deity beautify a land? Israel was cursed by God. For 2,000 years, they rejected their Messiah and bore the curse. But the 2,000-year summer is almost over. If you read the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel, unlike many of the prophetic books, is written chronologically. Has anyone ever been told that to you? Especially around verse 36. From 36 on, we have our lifetime. Our lifetime begins at chapter 36 as Israel began to bloom again. And it goes through 37, the nation of Israel becoming a nation, in 38, the Magog War, and it even describes the temple that's going to be built in the future from 36 on. I encourage you to read it. I'm going to read you some verses from Ezekiel 36, beginning of verse 8. But ye, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be builded. Now, of course, this is implying the land was wasted, right? Written by Ezekiel thousands of years ago, and it was. We read Mark Twain's description. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estate, and will do better unto you than at your beginning. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee. And you shall be their inheritance, and thou shalt be no more henceforth bereaved them of men. Verse 13, thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, the land devours up men and has bereaved thy nations. Therefore, you shall devour men no more, neither bereave the nations any more, saith the Lord God. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more. Neither shall you bear the reproach of the people any more. Neither shall you cause the nations to fall any more, says the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in the land, in their land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for the idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen. And they were dispersed throughout the countries according to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, within all they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone far forth out of the land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathens wherewith they went. You see, sometimes even when you mess up, God's more concerned about his reputation than he is you. That's the only thing that saved some of us. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you've profaned among the heathens where you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathens, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Now, this all builds up to this here. Here's what he says. I will take you from among the heathens and gather you out of all countries, and I'll bring you into your own land. We saw that happen, didn't we? Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from your filthiness and from all of the idols, and I will cleanse you. We've seen that happen. A new heart also I'll give to you, and a new spirit I'll put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I'll be your God. And I will also save you from your uncleanliness, and I will call the corn, and I will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the trees and increase the field, and they will receive that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for the iniquities of your aberration, of your abominations. And for the sakes, and not for your sake do I this, says the Lord, be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, in that day, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all of your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be built. I know this is long, but I really wanted to read all this, so bear with me. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, the land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and the desolation and the ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left around about you shall know that I, the Lord, built the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. And so what we saw happen was late in 1800s, Israel began coming back to their land. And today Israel has more than 25 million trees planted in their land and exports fruit and flowers all over the world because God keeps his word. Amen? Now, as I said earlier, the physical and the spiritual are tied together. Just as Israel's land was desolate and there was a curse on the land, so Israel was also spiritually desolate. And so what we see happening now is not just the fruit coming back to the land and the land being fruitful, but the Holy Spirit beginning to move in God's holy people, the nation Israel. The physical change is tied to the spiritual change. The physical change is tied to the spiritual change. A spiritual blooming has occurred. Jewish people are coming back to God from 1948, 1967. And at the same time, the gospel in 1967 began to go out with all kinds of television and all of this. And so this spiritual awakening is tied. The church and Israel are irrevocably tied together. You cannot separate the two. And as God's Spirit begins to move on his people, the Jews, the revival of the gospel began to be preached around the world beginning around 1967. The gospel began to cover the earth via radio and television. Now, trees require rain. And rain is linked to the heavens. Amen. Isaiah 5, 5 and 6. And now go, I will tell you what to do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up and broken down, and the walls thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns, and I also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. And that's exactly what God did. This was a prophecy about the 2,000-year dispersion and how God would put a curse on the land, and it wouldn't rain there. And you heard Mark Twain's testimony, a barren land cursed by God. But guess what? Right around 1948, 1967, in the 19th century, scientists began studying stalactites in Israel, and they determined that a climate change near the end of the first century had occurred. At the end of the 19th century, rain began to return to Israel. And aren't you glad that it's beginning to rain? I said it's beginning to rain, and I'm not talking about the natural. I'm talking about the spiritual. The rain of God's Spirit is starting. The rain of God's Spirit is beginning to flow, and God is getting ready to do a mighty work. the former and the latter rains. I've quoted so many scriptures. You can look it up. It's in the book of Joel. He said that, you know, that the cankerworm and the caterpillar, that all this devastation is going to come, but then there's coming the latter rain. Amen. And aren't you glad for that? And guess what year the largest rain in recorded history of Israel was? The years 1948 and 1967. See, repentance brings the rain of God's Spirit. And Jesus said, when you see these things, lift up your eyes. Your redemption draws nigh. We're getting ready to see the latter rain. We're getting ready to see the latter rain. The fig tree. Jesus said, when you see this blooming, the fig tree, this generation won't pass until everything be fulfilled. Israel became a nation in 1948, took Jerusalem in 1967, generation 70 years. Do the math. We are so close to God wrapping this thing up. But it doesn't just mean Israel becomes a nation. It represents Israel coming back to God. All of Israel will be saved, Paul said. All of Israel will be saved. So when does the fig tree bloom? A second time. In the Jewish month of Elul, which is the last month of the Jewish calendar, just before the Feast of Trumpets. Now see, for years I always thought Israel would not come back to God until the rapture or after the rapture of the church. But the fig tree has its second bloom before the trumpet. You know what that tells me? That the book of Acts chapter 2, or the book of Acts 2, is coming. That the Jews and the Gentiles who preached the gospel to the world in the first century will be doing it again before the trumpet sounds. It's all in God's timing. It's all in God's timing. The book of Acts, with its power and its evangelism and spread of the gospel, was accomplished because there were Jews and Gentile Christians working together. The unity. The latter rain will bring about a mirror of the former rain. Have you ever read the book of Acts and said, Lord, why can't we experience that? God said, it's not time for the second blooming of the fig tree, but hold on. And you and I get to be the Christians out of all the 2,000 years of the age of the church that get to experience it. The unity with the Jews, the power of the Holy Spirit, but with it also comes persecution. When I hear people like, oh, I want to see a move of God, I think, you know, do you really want what's in the book of Acts? Because every one of those people, except for John, were martyred. Hold on. The roller coaster's coming. Amen. Are you ready? Come on up, Nola. I said, are you ready, church? I'm ready. I don't care. What can man do to me? If they kill us, we just get to go see Jesus. Amen. Tradition says that when they finally took the Apostle Paul to be beheaded, as they were walking him up to the chopping block, he broke loose of his guards and ran forward and laid his head on the block. Send me into the arms of my Redeemer. Isaiah 61. Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Can you sing that? Let's sing it. Rise, shine, for the light is come. Come on, worship the Lord with me this morning. Rise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Come on, let the Lord hear you. Arise, shine, for the light is come. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Arise, shine, for the light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. One more time. Arise, shine, for the light is come. Oh, we love you, Lord. Arise, shine, for the light is come. For the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah, Lord, we're ready. We're ready, Lord, for the second bloom of the fig tree. We're ready, Lord, for whatever comes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, give your neighbor a big hug before you go. Thank you for coming.